Okay, so we are up to halacha beis. Klal kuf mem beis. Kuf mem beis halacha beis. The seder hatikiyos. Trua zo ha'amura b'tarah kibul chazal shu l'shoin b'chiyah u'misayinin. What is the deeper meaning behind the sound of a shofar? When we blow a shofar, we produce a sound. What is the deeper meaning behind that sound? So he writes over the Chazal Makabel that it's a cry. Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, we have some. It is the lashon of a cry. It's Shekein Tirgim Unkelis Yom Yabava. It says in the pasuk Yom Tiruah. What is the translation of the word Tiruah in the Unkelis? Yom Yabava. Now, how does that help us?
It doesn't.
It doesn't. So we have to go to Shoftim. Umotzinu d'chsiv, it says in Shoftim, Vati Yabev Eim Sisra. The mother of Sisra. Sisra was a general of Yavin. Yavin Melech. Yavin was the Tsar Tzva of Melech. Of Yavin. Okay, name of. I'm not sure. One of the Canaanim nations. The Canaanim, our enemies, Melech Yavin, namely the king of Yavin, if I'm not mistaken. He was the general of the king of Yavin, and they waged war against the Jewish people. And Sisra was a glorified general. He was a glorified general who led this battle to destroy Klal Yisrael. And it was a miracle that Melech Hatzor, he said, Melech Hatzor. Melech Chotzor. Yavin was the general of the king of Chotzor. Right? Is that correct? So we have over here this king, this little state called Chotzor, who was located in Eretz Yisrael somewhere. And the glorified general was Yavin. And Yavin went out to battle against Klal Yisrael. He went out with 900 chariots. Okay, everybody say 900 chariots. In time of Mitzrayim, how many chariots did Paro go out with? 600. How many chariots did Yavin have? 900. So it was a 150% addition. It was a massive army which went to go and wage battle against Klal Yisrael, to destroy Klal Yisrael. And they went into, and they were swept up by a tsunami, it seems. There was a tsunami from the Yam. The same Yam where Klal Yisrael entered Kriyas Yamsuf, and this tsunami came and flooded them and drew them into the Yam, and they all drowned. 900 of his best, 900 chariots, and all of the soldiers and the riders and all of the support crew were all drowned in the Yam in this battle. The mother of Sisra was waiting for her son to come home for lunch. He came home every day. He came home for dinner. Every Tuesday night after a hard day's work, it was his son every Tuesday night, so he came home for dinner. Yavin to his mother. The general came. And it was Tuesday night, it was 6 o'clock, and she was preparing dinner for her son to come for the visit. 6 o'clock, he's not here. 6:01. Check her cell phone, smartphone. Maybe there's a message. Check the landline. Maybe there's no message. Nothing. Email, text, garnished. Turn on. So what's going on? There's no message. What?
Smoke signals.
So she sent him a text. She sent him an email. She called. She called. No response. So she got worried. She knew something is wrong. She knew something is wrong, and she looked out the window. Where is my son? How come my son has not come back? He has not come for dinner. Something is wrong. And then she began to think, and she knew deep down in her heart something terrible has happened, and she began to cry. She cried 100 koilos, 100 sobs. And the way the pasuk describes her crying, where is my son? Little did she realize her son is dead. He was drowned in the army, in the sea, with all of the 900 soldiers. The way the pasuk describes her sobs are Vati Yabev Eim Sisra. The mother of Sisra sobbed. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this is that when it says in the pasuk Yom Tiruah, Yom Yababa, are they crying? We know that the translation of crying is, it means, the word Yababa means to cry, not just any cry, the cry of a mother. Okay, there are different types of cries. It's the cry of your wife. And then it's the cry of your mother. Okay? When the wife cries, she's not crying. She's a different kavana when she's crying. She's not crying over the suffering of her husband. Okay, think about that. I always like to mention to you, when the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol's mother, would go and distribute food to the people in the Ari Miklat. Right? They would distribute food. Why? Because what is the halacha? The halacha is that when the Kohen Gadol dies, what happens? All of the people in Ari Miklat go free. So what do they do the whole day at Ari Miklat? What do they do the whole day? Every single day, B'li Yoytzim in HaKlal, they said to Hillim, that the Kohen Gadol should die already. And no one walked out of shul for this to Hillim. Not like, you know, today they say after everything's over, everyone's out to the races. No one wants to stick around for Tehillim. Right? But in Ari Miklat, when they daven, and when davening was over, they said Tehillim, no one, that was the most important part of davening. And what were they davening for? Not that the Kohen Gadol should be gesund and well, that the Mespal, he should die. Because when he dies, we go free. Okay, so we go free, so they couldn't wait. So what happened? So the mother of the Kohen Gadol would make her rounds every single day with delicacies, with danishes, with donuts, and you name it, and would distribute delicious food to all of the prisoners in the Ari Miklat as a bribe. Don't be misspelled, my child should die. You're the sinner, not him. It's not his fault. It's your fault that you're here over here. Don't be, and they would eat it, and once they ate it, it may have an effect on them. They were blinded, and so they couldn't say the Tehillim B'leif Shalem. When they said that the Hillel, the Kohen Gadol should die, they couldn't say the B'leiv Shalem. So what's the most famous question? Why is it only the mother of the Kohen Gadol distributing delicacies? Why didn't the wife of the Kohen Gadol distribute delicacies? What?
She's
too young.
She had a married
Psula,
right?
Yeah, so? So he married a Psula. He married a Psula 50 years ago. She was a Psula. What's the difference? So why isn't the wife? Why doesn't the wife of the Kohen Gadol come around and distribute delicacies that the people should not pray that her husband should not die? What do you learn from this? There are a lot of it's a very good. Because the wife. Because very good. Exactly the answer. Because the wife is not the one that really cares. Is the mother, not the wife. No, if the husband goes, so no, I'll get another husband. I'll get life insurance policy. We have a big life insurance policy. The mother, you can't replace a child.
A woman sent her husband to buy potatoes and he dropped.
Yeah.
So a friend came to the Nachum and she says, so what happened? She said, yeah, I sent him to go potatoes. So what did you do? She said, I made rice.
You may do. So there's a lot of depth to this. Why only the mother and not the wife? Memelo, when it says here Vatiyabeb, here Rabbi said, please, when it says Vatiyabeb Aim Sisra, the mother is crying. The cry of a mother is a whole different league. It's a different type of cry. Memelo, that's unique. No one cries for you like a mother. That's the spitz. There's no one in this world, it's irreplaceable. Children are not going to cry like a mother cries. A wife is not going to cry like a mother cries. A friend's not going to cry. A mother is a mother. And therefore, when you learn about Shofar, Yoyim Tirua, Yoyim Adi Yababa, what kind of Yababa? Aim Sisra. It's the cry of a mother. She sobbed 100 sobs, and this is the Makar why we have a minute to blow 100 calls. We'll talk about this a little later on. I'll be Mayach on this a little later on. Let's do a little halacha first. I want to talk about another very important halacha. Okay, there's a lot of drush. Okay, this is what it says over here in the Gemara. Shereit Zalai Masha Haisa, this is the third line. Shereit Zalai Masha Haisa, Dr. Fuchter, please. Shaisa Baicho Misanenes Vederecha Baicho. Now, here's the cry. Now, this is very, very true. Now, you go and you watch the child. You can talk and see this. You ever go to shul, and we have grandchildren, and Rachmanel's son, they fall down. Okay, they get a real good zetz. Okay, we're not talking over here like a little thing. They get a real shock. So right away, you ever see this happen? Oh no, this kid fell down. And you look at the expression, you count. What? I know that in 5 seconds from now, the kid is first absorbing, is breathing in, and he's going to let it out like he never heard before. And then 5 seconds later, there are sobs. And the sobs are long. And then after he catches his breath, then they're short sobs, short two. It's human nature. This is the mitzvah. It's a breathing pattern. It's a natural breathing pattern when a person is in shock. During the shock period, he breathes, inhales, and then he lets it out. And when he lets it out, it's first in short, it's in longer spurts. And then after he catches up, his breath catches up, readjusts to the shock of the inhaling, then it's short sounds. So just like when a person cries, it's first a shvarim and then a trua, that's what we do when we blow shofar. It's first a shvarim and then a trua in that sequence. So the nimsa, so the words of the derech ha-boicha, it's the third line, u'misanein shenageach mikev leiv, v'im koilois aruchim kitzos. They're long sounds. And then there's a separation in between the spurts of silence. Okay, so the first reaction is to have short spurts, or what we call a shvarim. And then when a person, he's breathing, catches up to being into a natural state, mialel bikolos kitzorais. The shock causes a unnatural breathing rhythm, which results in shvarim. And then when the mind adjusts and accepts what happens and cries, it's a trua, it's short spurts. There's a lot of depth in this. Because Rabbi Yisrael, think about it in life. In life there are different types of reasons to cry. Sometimes a person cries in reaction to something shocking. Person, Rachmana Lislan, hears bad news, and you never in your life would have expected this to happen. How could this happen? It's a shock. So a shock, when you cry out of shock, that is called shvarim. When you cry out of reflection, in other words, a intellectual realization, it's not a shock. This happened a long time ago. I'm just now reflecting and analyzing the situation, and I recognize I'm in a very bad matzav. It's a very, very painful situation that I'm in, and I'm in pain, and I cry. But that's not a shock. That is a reflection over a reality that has played out over a long period of time. A flashback, that is called a teruah. It's very, very interesting. When you're blowing shofar, when the Baal Tokei calls out shvarim, we cry to Hashem in shock. Can't believe this. I can't believe it's Rosh Hashanah. I can't believe all the things I've done wrong. I can't believe it. And then when we call out teruah, that's not a shock. I know about this. I know about these problems. I've been living with these problems for years. Just now, it's a time of reflection, a time to think about it and to plan forward. And I'm very sad. And that's called a teruah. Okay, this is very, very deep. It's very deep. What exactly is the difference between a shvarim and a teruah? There are two different types of times in life when we cry. And that's exactly what happens when a child cries. Child first is in shock. Can't believe he fell down and banged his head against the wall. Can't believe it. So the child's mind is in shock. And what happens? He does not breathe. He stops breathing, or I don't know exactly the technique, but basically the breathing rhythm is suspended temporarily, and that causes him, when he finally, the mind forces him to catch his breath, it results in these long spurts. Then, when his mind and his body adjusts and catches up, and returns to a natural state of breathing, but he's still in pain, I'm still in pain, then he cries in short spurts. The crying is a short spurts of crying. That is symbolic of two different types of tsar we experience in this world. A tsar of shock and a tsar of reflection. Dennis, a lot of psychological truth to this?
Sounds good.
Okay, so this is Schaefer. Pun intended. Pun intended. So now, here we go, and I want to bring out some very important lumnis and afmina that we have to talk other agadah. It was like, v'heim kailos aruch aruchim k'tzas, m'upsakim k'tzas, v'lokim yachav huloisim kailos shalik kodim shvargev. Now, I'm up to where it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. V'yachar kachan afterwards, m'yalel b'kailos k'tzarois utukufim yachach anukim, which is called truah. Okay, now here comes a very important thing. Why do we have to do all three? Why do we blow sets of shvarim, a sets of trua, and shvarim trua? The Chai Adam is now going to tell us the aside of the Rambam. There's a major machlokes. You have to know this. You cannot go into Rosh Hashanah if you don't know this aside. The machlokes, the Rambam, and Rav Chai Goin. Even Rav Chai came before the Rambam. Okay, so it's Taka Papella. I don't know how the Rambam is chiluk on Rav Chai Goin. But there's a what? They never saw each other.
The Goyim.
Never met, but the Goyim they came before.
No, they never met. Not just that. They don't know.
But the Goyim came before. They came before. The Rambam had to know from the Goyim. He had to know from the Goyim.
No, but I'm saying that they usually, you know, one tkufa isn't chaylik on the other tkufa.
Right. You can be chaylik, right. So here you have a case of the Archelik. So I don't know how it all plays out, but this is there's a major machlekes between the Rambam and Rav Chai Goin as to why we blow. It's very fundamental, you have to know this for Rosh Hashanah. Why we blow three sets. We blow a set of Shvarim Truah, a set of Shvarim, and a set of Truah. Why do you have to have so many? The Torah says Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, let me make a long story short, read it inside. The Rambam says, over the generations, we forgot. We do not know the precise translation of the word Teruah. Is a Teruah really a Shvarim? Is a Teruah what we call a Teruah? Or maybe a Teruah is both? So we don't know. Now, according to the Rambam, this is the Chiddush, this is the Yisait, only one of the three is correct. The other two are wrong. So basically, you're just wasting your time. You're only going to get credit in Shemayim for being kind the mitzvah derais of Yom Teruah with one of the three sets. It might be a Shvarim, it might be what we call a Teruah, or it might be what we call a Shvarim Teruah. Being that throughout the ages, Golos, we forgot what it is. We just don't know. We forgot.
How does that happen?
I don't know how it happens. What?
Forget about other things.
Right? Yeah,
but so we don't know how it is.
Rabbeinu Tam, you're saying very good, but this is what the Rambam says. This is the Rambam. We just forgot. We don't know. How it came about, I don't know. But that's what he says. And you're only going to get credit for one. So because we do not know, we have no choice but to do all the possibilities. And we cover ourselves. Insurance. We cover ourselves. We're covering from all sides. That's why we blow the three different sets. The chaperayin, whatever is correct, we should chaperayin. This is the sheet of the Rambam. Now let's read that inside over here. Uviroiv, look, he writes, he's saying the Rambam, Uviroiv hayomim, due to the time, the hagolos, and exile, all the difficulties that come along with exile, nistapku chazal, chachmenu zucharim levracha, do not know, they simply do not know. Who is this? Hainu, look what he writes over here in the parentheses. Hainu al pi mashakos of Rambam. Okay? Avol bad, Rav Chai Goin kosav, that we're going to come to in a moment, the loy mishum sothu, I'm going to come to explain them. He's not quoting Rav Chai Goin. The Chai Adam is only working with the Rambam. And I'm going to show you a very big nafkimina in a moment. We'll get to Rav Chai Goin. Mimela, we don't know. I have a sothic im, hatruahu l'shoin ginuche. Genuchi means long spurts, which is what we call in our vernacular Hainu Shivarim, Koilois Laruchais, long sounds, O Lashon Yilala. Or it means a Yilala, a cry, a short cry, which Koilois Kitzaros, what we call in our vernacular a Teruah. Oyev Shashem Yachat. Maybe when the Torah said the word Teruah, it means both together. both together like a baby, a child that's in shock. He bangs on the wall. He first has long spurts, and then he has short spurts. So maybe when the Torah says Yom Tua, it means both together. So the Rambam says Shvam Tua. Therefore, we don't know. It's only one or the other. Well, really, there are three possibilities, and the other two are wrong. It's a waste of time. But we don't know. Because we do not know, because of the Arichas Hayamim of Golos, we have no choice but to cover ourselves, to cover ourselves. Ulechayin Tikni Chazalot says, Yidei Kol HaSeikos, V'litkoya Shalosh Pyamim Tikiya Shvarim Tikiya Shvarim Tikiya Tikiya, V'Shalosh Pyamim Tikiya Shvarim Tikiya, V'Shalosh Pyamim Tikiya Tikiya Tikiya. Avol Ein L'Sapeik Shema Tichilas Ein L'Sapeik Shema. Now, what about the other way around? Maybe it's a teruah shvarim. No, that was never a suffix, because that's not natural. Because when a baby cries, the baby does not cry in that order. Listen to an infant cry, not like a toddler, not an infant, a toddler. A toddler that gets a good zetz, that you'll hear, you hear it all the time. That's, you see the shock, and you look, and you start counting your fingers until you can hear the outburst. And then comes the five, and then comes the long sound, the short sounds. That's ridiculous. Since we just proved from the mother of Sisera that it's a cry, that's not the mitzias, a reality of short spurts and then long spurts. It's human nature. The ain loymar kevin shekvar tiknu litkoya tkiya shvarim teruah tkiyim ken yaitzi mimanam shach im teruah shvarim tkiyim. Now, next kasha. Okay, so if we have no choice, we have to cover all ground. But what do we have to do? Once we already do tkiya shvarim teruah tkiya, we've done them both. So manam shach. If it's a shvarim, we've done a shvarim. If it's a teruah, we've done a teruah. If it's both, we've done both. So why can't we just do one set, tekiyah, shvarim, teruah, tekiyah? Oh, thank you very much. Not necessary. Thank you very much. Thank you. Why do we have to go do both? All three. Just do a shvarim, teruah. The answer is because it's a hefsek. Because maybe we only need to do a teruah. Then the shvarim that we did before the teruah is mafsek before the tekiyah. Maybe we're only supposed to do a shvarim, and then the teruah is a hefsek. You're not allowed to be mafsik between the tekiah, between the middle, between what the Torah says is a yababa, and the tekiah before, and the tekiah afterwards. We learned yesterday, there's a gzeres hakos from the word v'havarta, we learned a drasha, that the teruah, the yababa, must be sandwiched with a tekiah in the beginning, and a tekiah at the end. And maybe the Torah wants, maybe the real meaning of the word Torah means what we call a shvarim. So then you have to have immediately before a tekiah and immediately after another tekiah. If you're going to have after your shvarim a teruah, that teruah is a hefsik between the shvarim and the following tekiah. So that's why it's not an option just to do a tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, and argue, I've done them both. So what more do you want from me? Manam shach, I've done a shvarim, I've done a teruah, and I've done them both together. I can't go wrong. No, you've gone wrong. Because maybe the Torah's meaning of teruah means a shvarim, and if that's what the Torah wants there to be a tekiah before the shvarim, and a tekiah immediately after the shvarim. You were mafsik. You also blew a teruah after the shvarim before the tekiah. So you have invalidated your teruah by being your sets of koilos by being mafsik. So that's why it's not a solution. So he writes over here that don't go argue and say the imkein yoytzim imanav shach im teruah who top of the law on page nundal im teruah who shvarim kvar taka. If it's a true idea, whatever idea I've done, v'im teruah he teruah kvar taka v'lo me'inut koya tekiah shvarim tekiah. We'll do it all the way around. Let's do the kia shvarim tekiya, utkiya tua tekiya. I got them both in. So what's the answer to both these questions? Hatam ditzach shayitka tekiya tua tekiya ritzufim shloyafsik ben kol lokol im kol acher. You may not be mafsik from the middle sound to the tekiya before and after. V'im kain shema hatenuah hu shvarim levad. And if that's the case, Rabbi Hifsik, you mafsik bitrua bein hashvarim lebein atkiya shalacharecha, v'chein shema hatrua hi hatrua levad, v'nimsa shehifsik b'shvarim bein tekiya rishonah latrua. So therefore, that is why we have no choice, according to the Rambam, but to blow, basically, to blow what we call 30 koilos. How do you get 30 koilos? It's 12, yeah? The microphone's not working? Oh, I didn't put it on even. Okay, look at that. Took it off by mistake. I'm sorry. We were talking private business during the break. You know, we were negotiating. We got to keep it quiet. All right. So, what's the bottom line? When you blow a set of tekiah shvarim tekiah three times. That is 9. 3, 6, 9. When you blow tekiah, teruah, tekiah, that's also 9. But when you blow tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, that's 12. Because it's 9 plus 3. You're getting really, really 2 in. So when you add 12 plus 9 plus 9, 30. 30 koilas. So me'ikar hadin, you only have to blow gzeres hakos of 9. But we don't know what the 9 should be. Should the 9 be tekiah, shvarim tekiah, tekiah, shvarim tekiah, tekiah, shvarim tekiah? Or should it be tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, tekiah? Or should it be tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, teruah, tekiah, tekiah, shvarim, teruah? That's all you have to really blow. But we don't know what it is. Because we have no choice, we have to do all three. All three is 9 plus 9 plus 12 is what we call 30 koilos. So whenever you blow the minimum, person, you go and you blow for a person who is not well, cannot go to the Beis HaKnesses, but for Noshim, they always blow what they call 30 koilos. The cover ground, we don't know what the tour is, you have to do a shvarim, you have to do a tekiah, you have to do a shvarim tura, and you can't say, let me just do a tekiah, do the tekiah, shvarim tura, tekiah, and manav shach. I've done everything. I've done a shvarim, I've done a tura, and I've done a tekiah, a shvarim tura. Yeah, you've done everything, but you are mafsik. Because it's supposed to only blow a shvarim, so why then did you blow a teruah after you blew the shvarim? The teruah that you blew was a hefsik between the shvarim and the following tekiah. If you're only supposed to blow a teruah, then the shvarim that you blew was a hefsik between the first tekiah and the teruah. So there's no choice. There's no choice but to blow a total of 30 koilos to cover all ground. This is the shita of the Rambam. Okay, everyone clear with the Rambam? You're only getting credit in Shemayim for one of the three. You're blowing 30 koilos. You're only getting credit in Shemayim either for 9 or 9 or 12. Okay, the 9 is Tkiya Shvarim Tura. That's the 9. Only it's a total of 9 sounds. Or Tkiya Tura, we do it 3 times. Or Tkiya Tura Tkiya 3 times. Or maybe it's Shvarim Tura Tkiya. That's a total of 12. Because we count those two in the middle as 2. So it's 2, 4, 6, sandwiched by another 6, another 3, and the 4, and 3 at the end for a grand total of 12. So you're only going to be getting credit in Shemayim either for either this 9, or this 12. We do not know which one it is, so we have no choice but to do all of them together, and we do 30. Yeah.
Will we blow for someone else?
Yes.
The 30 kindness. Does the Shemarim and Trua have to be together?
The Shemachas. So he's asking another question. He's asking another question. When you blow a shvarim teruah, do you do it in one breath, or do you take a very short breath into the shvarim and the teruah? I think generally you're not mafsik. You're not. The ikar is not to be mafsik. When you blow for 30 for one person, right. Wait, here's the miyushev. Here's the miyushev. You're different than hogging.
The mu'umud
you do, right. So I think, if I'm not mistaken, it's not clear. There are many different opinions. If I'm not mistaken, the vast majority of the poskim hold the ikar is not to be mafsik. You do the shvarim teruah in one shot. And then there's a hinder, or no, another, and you do it too good. So I think when you do it for privately, you're not mafsik. You're not mafsik. The shvarim tru is done in one breath. This is the shita of the Rambam. Now, Rav Haigon says something very, very fascinating. There's a lot of musar and hashkafa in this. Rav Haigon says nothing doing. Rav Haigon says they're all good. You have to understand halacha. halacha, this is a very different approach to halacha. We always give the example. You give the classic example, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's a big machlokes. The article they show, it's not clear in Rashi. You can read Rashi, the Lubavitch, they promote the Shitas HaRambam. And you know, even the Rambam, it's not so clear. Someone drew a picture in an old Rambam of what it looks like, so everyone assumes that's what the Rambam taka holds. Even that's not so clear. Who drew that picture? Who says that's really what the Rambam meant? Read the Rambam very clearly. It's very, very vague. The Rambam, we all seen the V menorah, right? The Rambam's menorah, the Rambam's menorah is a V. Who says that this is the Rambam's menorah? That's the tradition. We assume that's how the Rambam learned how the menorah was meant to be made. Lubavitch, they're very into this. Lubavitch, they promote the Rambam's V menorah. I think all of us, when we grew up as children, we never knew they were from a V menorah. We were familiar with the round. The menorah is round. When you go to Eretz Yisrael, you go to the steps. Going down, they have this massive menorah built from model of model, and it's a round. Traditionally, on the Arch of Titus, whether it's the menorah is the round menorah. Okay, whatever it is. So is that really the menorah? Was it a candelabra? Was it really the menorah? Whatever it is. I think most of us, it's etched into our mind from childhood, the round menorah, but in the art school now, politically correct, they have in the art school Chumash, they have all them two. They put them both. They have the V menorah and the round menorah. What does that mean? It means one is kosher and one is pasul. Is that what it means? That if you go there, when the one, if you have to only use one, but not necessarily. I think the vast majority, they're both kosher. The Torah doesn't explicitly say how it has to be. It gives you the general guidelines, but the Torah allows you to be a bit creative. There's some creativity that is allowed to enter into the picture, and they're both kosher. If you have a V menorah, yotze the mitzvah, halakas neros. In the Beis HaMikdash, you have a round menorah, yotze. The shulchan, the lechem aponim, machloiks nimsach the menachas. Was the bread square, or was the bread round? Was it a square bread with four funny corners, or it was like a boat, the Gemara says. So machlokes the Gemara. So does that mean that the man de Amad that says that it's square holds, that if it was round, it's not kosher? Maybe, possibly. Or maybe no. Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chai. This is my preferred approach, but I can't say that what you're doing is no good. It's also an approach, also a valid approach. Blowing shofar. Torah is very vague. The Torah says, Yoim Teruah. What does it mean to cry? Rav Haigon says that all three are correct. And in fact, in ancient times, there were different communities. In this community, I thought the menorah. It's not so far-fetched to say, go back to the menorah, that there were 24 mishmaros of Kohanim, and some mishmaros preferred. There was the Lubavitch HaChevra. Okay, they were the Lubavitch HaKohanim. When they came to the Beis HaMikdash, they took out of storage one of those toyim, they took out the V menorah. And then when this group, okay, some Hasidic group came in, when it was their turn to serve in the Mikdash, their Mishmar, it's not our tradition. Our tradition is not to use the V menorah, our tradition is to use the round menorah. So they took the V menorah, they put it in storage, and they took out of the closet the round menorah. Okay? You'd walk into the Beis HaMikdash during a particular week, you wouldn't recognize what's going on. The Nigunim, when they sang Shira. Okay? So there's the Sfar, we know the Sfaradim, they have their Nigunim, and we know the Ashkenazim have their Nigunim. Which melodies did they play when they sang Shira? So on a Mishmar, that was Sfarish Mishmar, they played the Sfarish Nigunim. You don't like it? To be for you. That's not. Then when there's a Hasidic group, they have their Mishmar. Havara, everyone has a different Havara. No one is necessarily wrong. No one is wrong. There are different elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim. Rav Haigon says the same thing when it comes to Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah. How do you cry? You have a choice. Your yoytzeh, whatever you do, your yoytzeh. If you want to do shvarims, your yoytzeh. You want to do a teruah, your yoytzeh. You want to do shvarim to a yoytzeh. Only do one set. Don't waste your time. Go better learn Daf Gemara. Don't waste your time blowing 30 koilas. It's not necessary. You blow either 9 or 12. You want to blow the shorim tura, blow the shorim tura. You want to blow the tura, blow the tura. You want to blow the shorim, blow the tura. They're all good. And in fact, Rav Haigon says that it used to be the custom in different communities. You live in this community, you live in Flatbush, In Flatbush, they blow the Truah. In Borough Park, they blow the Shvarim. You go to the five towns, their custom was to blow the Shvarim Truah. And everyone did something different. And no one did all three. You only did one and not the other. That was the custom. And they're all good. They're all not like the Rambam that says only one is good and the other two are no good and lo yotza and we have to cover ground. No, they're all good. So why taco do we do 30? Because Rosh Hashanah, this is what Haigoin says. Half level fellow of Haigoin says. Rosh Hashanah. Exactly. Rosh Hashanah is a day of Achdus. It's a day of Achdus. We all come together. The biggest advocate for us on the Yom HaDin, so how are you going? It's like Mamash Darshan. It's not the typical type of thing you hear from a Goyim. The Goyim didn't talk we're not from the Darshanim. The Adush is a modern phenomenon. But he basically says, like he said, Agud Achas. Rav Sadia Goyim also. Rav Sadia Goyim,
but he was a big Darshan.
Darshan? A different type of Jewish though. Their Machshon is not, the modern Jewish is very, very different than the old, the Machshava from the Ramban's time.
Egypt.
Okay. Okay, but the point is that Rosh Hashanah is Dev Achdus. Therefore, we go out of our way to do what you do. I don't need to do what you do. I do it my way. But I acknowledge there's another approach. And it's also valid. That's what you need in the Yom HaDin. On the Yom HaDin, you need to be tolerant. You need to be open-minded. You need to be accepting, not to be nevata. We live in a world today, it's a sickness. Where the attitude is always, you're wrong, what you do is no good, you're mahalach in life, it's no good, it's no good, it's no good, it's no good. There's so much negativity. There is so much bittul. It's terrible. Different strokes for different folks. Everyone thinks differently. Everyone has a different approach. What's good for you is not good for me. Not everyone is cut out to be a satna chassid. Not everyone is cut out to be a lubavitcher. Everyone has their niche. Everyone has their, finds their place, things that are close to their neshama, where they're comfortable and where they feel they're comfortable. And wherever you find yourself, it doesn't mean it's either my way or the highway. It doesn't mean there are only two groups in this world, those that are chassidim and those who are yet to be chassidim. So it's a very ugly approach, it's a very ugly thing in life to be so black and white and everyone is wrong, bittle, bittle, bittle. Rav Haigoin says that's the reason why we blow 30 koilos. They're all valid, they're all good, they're all a fulfillment of Yababa. Yababa means to cry. You can cry in many different ways. But you have to be tolerant of other people's approach, and this is the ultimate zechus that will accompany us into the Yumei HaDin, into the moment of Din, by acknowledging Achdus. V'hoyu v'yichan yishol sham neged ahar ki ish echad b'leiv echad. We're different, but I accept you, no matter what you are. So, not like the Rambam. The Rambam was not tolerant of this idea. The Rambam doesn't go. I'm sure Rambam agrees with the idea and concept, but the Rambam says, and it's a very nice Jewish, you know, but that's not the pshat. You know, by Shoif, the Rambam holds that one is wrong. It's there three different, we have a suffix. We don't know which one is right. When Mashiach will come, we'll learn which one is right and the other two are wrong. Until that time, we have got to do all three to cover ground. What? So that's a separate thing. 100 kolos is because of Aim Sisra. Aim Sisra, I'll talk about that a little later on if we have time. That's because of she cried 100 cries. That's a minuk. 100 kolos is just a minuk. You only have to blow Benat Torah 9 or 12. Either 9 or we call 12. Not really, it's 9, but we don't know which slish. We don't know, or the Rav Haigoin says we do know, but it's an act of tolerance, so we upgrade to 30. That's it, you're done. Everything else is just icing on the cake. Everything else, you blow another 30 during Musaf, and then you blow another 30 after Musaf is over, and then you blow another 10 to be mashing to 100. That's minhagim, tchis the miyushav, tchis the beumad, 100 koilois, that is nothing more than minhag. Okay, so this is the yisod, you have to know the yisod, machlekes, the Rambam, Rav Haigoin, the Raisa is 9, we upgraded to 30, is it because we have a bona fide suffix, or is it because we acknowledge all three are valid? It's just a way of showing tolerance to what other communities used to do, and we want to be kuhiya kulam aguda achas la sois etzoncha b'levav shalem. Okay, we'll take a short break and then we'll talk some other ideas.